A two-day shutdown of Chile last week was set off by university students protesting the high cost of education, joined in solidarity by transport and public sector workers. Violence flared between protesters and police, particularly in the Chilean capital, Santiago. Since June, hundreds of thousands of students, including those in high school, have been boycotting classes. At the center of the demonstrations is 23-year-old Camila Vallejo, the head of the University of Chile's student union, who has garnered major media attention as a leading figure in the protests. Vallejo has articulated demands being made of the conservative administration of President Sebastián Piñera for the right to education. She said, quote, "We do not want to improve the actual system. We want a profound change, to stop seeing education as a consumer good, to see education as a right where the state provides a guarantee." A majority of Chilean students graduate with tens of thousands of dollars of debt incurred by their families for student loans that are often too big to pay back. So far, one person has died in the protests, a 16-year-old boy who succumbed to a gunshot wound. Responding to the seriousness of the demonstrations, President Piñera has already offered concessions, such as cutting interest rates on student loans and offering to amend the nation's constitution to include the guarantee of quality education for all. But Chilean students see this as too little, too late. Outraged at the police violence aimed at the demonstrators, students now want the Chilean Interior Minister to resign. Vallejo herself has received court-ordered police protection after a government official suggested she be assassinated to quell the protests. Joining me on the phone now is Lichi Fuentes. She's a Chilean-American singer-songwriter who works at the La Peña Cultural Center in Berkeley. She just returned from Chile. Welcome to Uprising, Lichi.
Welcome. Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, can you begin by explaining the current educational model in Chile? Is it primarily state-run? Is it primarily private or a combination of both?
Well, it is a combination of both. Historically, in Chile, the education was funded by the state. It was, the universities were either free or you paid according to the income of your parents. And historically it was like that, and there were only four universities in the country, different, sites in different towns. But, with the dictatorship in 1973, commercialization of the education started happening, and a lot of private universities started opening. At the beginning was like a boom because, you didn't have to take the national test to get into the university, and it was a difficult process to get into the state universities. And so if you had money, you could just go to the university and study whatever.
To the private universities.
You mean, right, in the private universities, yes.
And then if you didn't have money, did they basically allow people to take student loans?
That's what started happening. It's just like the education here. It's like buying a house. You get a loan, student loan, and then you pay it off when you're done with your education. But we're talking about a very poor country, so the credit of people is not good. When credit cards started coming into Chile, everybody went out and bought things, and then they couldn't afford it, so they had to. Their things were taken away, and there's like so much debt. People are in so much debt in Chile because they don't know the system. And so the same thing with education. It's like, yes, if you had a decent salary or your parents had a decent salary, you could get a loan, but then the interest is so high that you can't pay it back. And it got so out of hand because now Santiago is full of universities that are private, and it's you know, no one can afford it, and the salaries of a regular public person, if you have a public job, is like $800 a month, and if you have a son or a daughter who goes to the university, you end up with a $40,000-$50,000 debt by the end. And plus, there's no jobs, you know.
And so that's a function of the global recession. It seems as though you have a country ripe for protest when you've got a majority of students well-educated, a majority of Chile's youth are well-educated, and no jobs, and saddled with debt. It was almost an inevitable situation, an environment ripe for these kinds of protests.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, it's like, on top of everything, it's like the quality of the education of the private universities is not good either. You know, there is a generation that had graduated from those universities, not being able to function to serve the mm-hmm. country. There is no resources. There is not enough jobs for people to have good salaries. So it's like the protest comes because it's so imbalanced that it doesn't make any sense. It's just, you know, it's just profit for the owners of the private universities.
Now, what about the government of Sebastián Piñera, who is a center-right, to be even a little bit modest, but he has made concessions. He's offered concessions, wanting to slash the interest rates down to 2% on student loans. That, of course, doesn't mean that there are no student loans. And also amend the constitution. This is, of course, an indication that the government is afraid that the protests might evolve into something more serious. But the students want even more. They want the resignation of the interior minister. But on education, what is their ultimate demand? Do they want the private universities to shut down? Do they want the debts to be forgiven?
Well, there is I'm not familiar with all the details of what they're asking, but the main thing that they're asking is that the education is not that is equal to all, that is a state right. Is
so they don't want it to be a commodity for profit.
Absolutely no, because it's in a third world country where the majority of the population is you know, in Chile, what's happening is like there are more poor people now than rich people, almost like the middle class is disappearing. So what the government is proposing is sort of like a solution just for the meantime, but the problem will stay there because the country doesn't have the resources. The majority of the people does not have the resources. We used to have an educational system that it would provide free education, and then when you graduated, you serve your. For example, our students would graduate in Santiago, and they would have to go to the countryside to serve for a couple of years. So it's like it was a payback. It was like a system that worked because you served your country in another way. If you got
so in exchange for the state university education, you would have to do some kind of community service.
Absolutely, yeah.
My guest is Lichi Fuentes. She's a Chilean-American singer-songwriter. She works at the La Peña Cultural Center in Berkeley. She just returned from Chile, where protests have been dominating the country. There was a two-day shutdown of the nation last week. Now, what about this student leader that has gained so much attention, Camila Vallejo? Trejo. She's 23 years old. She is the head of the University of Chile's student union, and I believe only the second woman to ever hold that position. And she has garnered a lot of attention. What do you make of her?
Well, she's a very smart young lady. She's very well informed, and she has an incredible clarity of what the student movement is after. And so
she's sort of become a de facto spokesperson for the whole movement.
Exactly. And she, you know, this problem is not only, it didn't start with this government. And this is, you know, way back when the dictatorship started. So it's like she is calling for a true reform of the educational system, and she's not for a political party. She is really for the need. Her message is very clear. This is for the need to change the system for an equal education to all the Chileans.
Now, you mentioned she's not for a political party. There have been Andres Oppenheimer, writing in the Miami Herald, has referred to a number of times the fact that she is a member of the Communist Party.
Well, you can be. I don't know if she's a member of the Communist Party or not. I'm talking about her message. It's like she. I saw her interviews on TV in Chile, and she is calling for the truth and the responsibles for, you know, this whole mess, which it comes from before even this government. This didn't happen overnight. So she's not speaking on behalf of the Communist Party. She's speaking on behalf of the student movement.
I have to confess I'm a little uncomfortable by the way in which she is being discussed in the media and even by other political figures. She is a young and a very attractive young woman. The Bolivian Vice President Alvaro Garcia Linera said, "We are all in love with her." Media reports that discuss her often refer to her as young and beautiful, with good looks. And, you know, you sort of wonder whether those terms would be used with a male leader or a woman who is not considered conventionally beautiful.
Well, you know, you're talking about Latin American. She is, her beauty is inside of her. You know, as a woman, that's what I see of her. She's a very smart, clear woman who is not in the front of the newspapers or radio stations or TV because of her looks. She is very smart. She's very clear of what the student movement is about.
And I want to actually quote her. She said on this issue, "You have to recognize that beauty can be a hook. It can be a compliment. They come to listen to me because of my appearance, but then I explain the ideas. A movement as historical as this cannot be summarized in such superficial terms." Lichy Fuentes, what do you think is going to happen now? Are there going to be more? Do you foresee more shutdowns if the student protesters are not happy with the response of the president, Piñera, if they want more from the government? It's possible that violence will continue to escalate even as the student protests themselves escalate. What do you think will happen?
Well, see, and this is just my opinion, but we've been under the constitution that it was put there by the military junta in Chile. The constitution was changed, so it's like the student movement. It now is like it's adding other struggles in the country. So at this point, you know, if it's a national strike, it's like what the movements are calling in Chile is to to sit down and change the constitution, basically, because that will, you know. And so what I think it will happen, it's like a real sit down, a plebiscite maybe. It's not just one thing. It's not just the education. So it's like the whole Chile is in bad shape. I was there. The protests were infiltrated by people that were doing damage to buildings and the violence. You know, not only in the protests, but every day. You know, it's like...
So there are larger issues at work here.
It's very, 30, 40 cars in Santiago are stolen daily.
Well, we'll certainly continue to cover the situation in Chile as it's unfolding, both with the educational system as well as larger issues. Lichy Fuentes, I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Sure. Thank you.
Lichy Fuentes.
I wanted to tell you that in UC Berkeley, there's going to be a protest on Saturday. Called by the Chilean community here in the Bay Area. It's going to be at UC Berkeley.
Well, we will post, we'll get that information from you offline and then post it onto our website for our Bay Area listeners who might be tuning in online. Lichy Fuentes, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Somali.
Lichy Fuentes is a Chilean-American singer-songwriter. She works at the La Peña Cultural Center in Berkeley. She just returned from Chile, where there have been mass demonstrations led by students.